I have to say that there are not many times anymore that I don't quite know what to speak on, and obviously I don't know what to wear. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I had a story to tell, but I'm not going to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I will make this relatively short. You notice the adverb in there. Okay. We are in the process of selecting new deacons. And I would like to address something tonight that I want you to keep in mind, not necessarily for the deacons themselves, but potentially we will have, at least we will have the opportunity to have some new ministries in this congregation. And I think this could really, really be a good milestone if we make it one for this church, because there are some areas, and I dare say there are some areas that every single one of us are aware that need some attention in the church. And you're going to be given the opportunity to suggest some areas that need attention. And I hope that you've been thinking about that and praying about that, and that you will take advantage of this opportunity to do that. Suggesting something doesn't mean that it's going to get done, but if you never bring it to the surface, then it very possibly may never get done. And I hope, I don't know all that the elders have in mind for this, but I hope that whatever it is that you see lacking in the congregation and things that we can do more effectively and reach out to one another and to the community more effectively, I hope that it's something that you'll like to be involved in. Not necessarily that you'll have to head it up and organize it, but that it's something that's on your heart. And if you see a need, then that's kind of the way things are hatched around here. That when you see a need, then you bring it to the attention of the elders and the leadership and discuss it. And that's the way that most things have gotten off the ground here, kind of from the ground up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the church, this is the new church here. And the church in each community, each city, had its own unique personality. You see, churches have personalities just like individuals do. And the personality of the church at Corinth was, I don't know what's the accurate way to say it, but it was pretty rough. Because these people came from a really rough background. It was the San Francisco, the New Orleans. It was the place where sailors came to dock and they were looking to have a good time. And even religion in Corinth had conformed itself to that desires of the people, and it had become an incredibly immoral place. It was a wild place to go. It was the place that what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth kind of place. And whenever people from this background became Christians, they didn't know how to feel about one another. Whenever you had a church that was formed in Jerusalem, then basically you had people with history together. And they had a lot in common. But when you started drawing people, the Gentiles in Corinth, when you started drawing them together, you had an incredible variety of people that came. And an extremely wide, varied view of religion and everything else in the world. And so when these people came together in the church, they didn't know how to get along. And all of a sudden you're putting people together from such extremely diverse backgrounds together, and you're expecting them to be unified, well, you're really going to have to do some serious work to make that happen. There are going to have to be some things that take place. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the things that created a problem in the church was the spiritual gifts. It created different ones of them had different spiritual gifts, and jealousies abounded there in the church. And they were using something that was intended to bring them together. They were allowing it to cause division in the church. And so Paul will write, and he will say in verse 4, 5, and 6, that there are three ways in which all of us are different. We all have different gifts. We all have different ways to use those gifts, or the NIV says kinds of service. And then we have different effects that are produced from the use of those varying gifts. And that would be different kinds of workings, as he says in verse 6. And so we are different, and we need to acknowledge that difference. And that difference that we have with one another can either be a source of dissension, or it can be, if it's used the way that God intended for it to be, it can be used to the benefit of the whole body. And so differences are obvious. Nobody has to tell us about differences. They become obvious to us. I mean, a couple gets married, and you know, before they get married, they say, okay, I know that we feel differently about this, or we see differently about this, or we think differently about this, but that's not going to matter. Well, you're wrong. It is going to matter. It's going to matter a lot. In fact, I tell couples that are in the process of considering getting married, I tell them that every single difference, no matter how small you may perceive it to be, is something that you're going to have to deal with. There is not one single difference between you that you're not going to have to deal with. And so, you and we need to learn how to handle these differences, because he gives us some guidelines to handle them. In verse 7 through 11, he says these differences are intended by God for our common good, for the good of the church. That you have a variety of gifts and abilities and services and benefits in every church. And that's a good thing, because it's a good thing that everybody's not like you. And it's a good thing that everybody's not like me. And so we need to, first of all, view those differences rather than allowing them to become a source of problem. We need to develop the attitude from the very outset that those differences are good things. There are people that you can reach, and there are people that you can appeal to and be attractive to that I cannot be, and maybe vice versa. And then in 12 through 13, after talking about these differences and the fact that they're for the common good, then before he moves into the main structure of his argument, he's going to talk about the things that we have in common and remind us, because differences have a way of causing us to close our eyes to the things that we have in common. Those differences, and it happens in marriages. Whenever you have a problem, there's something that you can't agree on, that thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger until, if you're not careful, you'll forget and lose sight of the things that you have in common. And that same thing is true in the church. That we can lose sight of the things that we have in common, and we have the very most important things in common. And he says there's one body in verse 12 through 12 and 13, one body, one spirit, if you'll notice that. And now he's going to talk about two attitudes. And I would suggest, and the reason that I brought up the thing about the ministries and you having the opportunity to talk about ministries, as you think about ministries that are needed and what can be implemented to enhance our outreach here and our effectiveness and our unity here, there are a couple of things that you need to take into consideration as you think about what will be effective for this church. And I would suggest to you that he's going to talk about those two things. One of them is, we need to take into consideration how people feel about themselves. and find ways to help people feel good about themselves. And specifically, he'll say in verse 14 through 20, this is our attitude about ourselves. And he's going to talk about the hand and the foot and the eye and the ear. And he's going to talk about it, if you'll notice, in the first person. He's going to change that when we get to verse 21, but he's going to be talking about how I feel about myself in this first section. He said, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. You see that he's saying, this is how I feel about myself. I look around me, and I see Corey, who has all these abilities, and I see Terrence over here, and Robert back here, different ones. And I look at the abilities they have, and if I'm not careful, I will think, well, you know what? I can't do the things that they can do. They have so much more ability, and they have such a vital role in this congregation that I just don't feel like I belong. And he is addressing that, how we feel about ourselves. And the way that he addresses that is he says, God put each one of us in the body as he saw fit. You are who you are, where you are, and have what you have, and the abilities that you have, and the talents that you have, because that's the way God wanted you. And it's really, really easy to become discontent. You know, I have four daughters, and in rearing those daughters, there are some things that I have observed. It doesn't matter how much talent one of them may have or how attractive they may be, they can get fixated, or we all can, not just them, okay? We can get fixated on something about ourselves that we dislike, and we just, that's all we can focus on. You know, when I was a kid, I've told you this story. When I was a little kid, and I still do, but it's not quite as obvious now because I have hair that I kind of put over the edge of my ears. But my ears are unusually large. And my mother was so embarrassed when I was a little kid that she would take my ears back to my head. Because people would see me and they would, comment about it or not comment about it, and she would think that they were. And when I was a kid, I was pretty self-conscious about that, particularly when the style was to try to have one of those flat-top haircuts, you know, and because my ears stuck out, and I got pretty fixated on that for a while. Then I got over it, and it doesn't really matter anymore, so I can laugh about it, and if I could change it, I probably wouldn't today. So, but there was a time when it was really important to me. And we can get fixated on what we can't do, or how we look at somebody else and then compare ourselves to other people and say, because I'm not like this person, then I really don't belong. And God addresses that, and he says, you do belong because I put you there. I made you the way that you are. And then the next thing that we need to take into consideration as we think about ways and things that we can do to become effective, particularly with one another and the unity in the body, is the next section he's going to talk about our attitude toward one another. And if you'll notice in verse 21, he changes persons from first person to third person, how you see yourself to how you view others. And all of a sudden, he's got the eye talking, and he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Now we're talking about how you feel about others. You're not talking about how you view yourself. We're talking about how you view others. And that, again, can become and is really easy to become a source of problems and a sore spot in congregations, because if you get the idea that somebody thinks that they don't need you, that you're not really vital to the function of the body, then that affects your attitude about the church. And so as we think about these things, and I would suggest to you, I was going to go into more detail here, but just for the sake of time and for what we have coming up, let me suffice it to say that verse 25 is the goal. He says, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for one another. So if you want to know where God wants you to go with this, And the attitude that he wants you to develop, that's the attitude. So you can write that down and put it somewhere where you can see it regularly and say, this is what God, how God wants me to feel about the church. That we have equal concern. And when that day comes that we have the right attitude about our role in the church and the role of others in the church, then this is going to take place. We're going to have this level of equal concern for one another. And then the result is going to be that when one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And one part is honored, then every part rejoices with it. And that's God's plan. We are different. And as I look around, and I've been here for 3 years now, and when I came, didn't know anything about anybody, and you didn't know anything about me. But now that we've learned a few things about one another, there is one thing we know. We're different in some ways, aren't we? We're different in some ways. And that's good. That's a good thing. As long as that difference doesn't involve sin, then that's a good thing. And God designed us that way. And He put us together in a body because that makes us effective. And we need to celebrate those differences. And we need to utilize those differences that we have. Because it makes us not be one-dimensional. And we can be multidimensional as we reach out into this community in so very many different ways, and they can be effective, and we learn to respect one another and love one another and encourage one another and support one another. And that's what God's family is. We don't have as wide a variety of differences, I suspect, as they did in Corinth. And so that job is not quite as difficult for us. But it can be as difficult as we allow it to be. Or it can be as easy as we allow it to be. And it's a neat thing to be able to get together and have a fellowship and get to know one another tonight as we're about to engage in this and have some fun together and enjoy our kids together and watch them, and even some maybe that are not quite kids here. But but we're glad that you're here tonight, and I hope that you enjoy the festivities that we have in a few moments. And if there is a need that you have in your life that can be met with a public response, then we're not so quick and anxious to get out of here that we won't sit down and pray together and talk to the Lord about the things that really do matter. And so let's stand and sing.